Hello, everybody out there. You are tuning in to another episode of Tall and Short of It podcast, where marriage and sports aren't all that different. And you are here listening to me, Erica, and my great, lovely husband,
Sean.
So thanks for tuning in today, guys. And again, Tall and Short of It podcast. Get a little bit of housekeeping out the way. You can definitely have various ways of finding us. The best way is tallandshortofitpodcast.com. You can listen to old podcast episodes, and I use the term old loosely since this is episode number 6. So, or 7. Either way, we use the term old loosely, but at tallandshortofitpodcast.com, you can definitely listen to them there. You can also find us on Podomatic, Stitcher, or iTunes. You just have to search Tall and Short of It Podcast. So, also, you can follow us on Twitter, and you can follow find our accounts in the About Us section on tallandshortofitpodcast.com. You can follow our podcast account, which is at TASOIP. Our individual accounts, Sean's is Ace of Diamonds 99, and mine is Super Sports Girl. Sports with S. Plural. Yeah. So, we're just going to go ahead and get into it. We do apologize. We're a couple of days off than our normal schedule. But life gets in the way, and so you just have to work your way around it. Anyway, like I said, get into it. The week that was, since last week I went first, I'll let my husband go and talk about his Cowboys and their win this past Sunday.
Yes, very big win by the Cowboys on Game of the Week Sunday Night Football. Beat the Redskins 31-16. Everybody played well. Defense really stepped up, considering they gave up 51 points a week before to Peyton Manning and the Broncos. But I felt like the secondary really helped us with the win as far as our man-to-man coverage. We had some nice zone in there, had some big hits, some interceptions.
Yeah, the guys were hitting pretty hard.
It was a good game. Did have some losses, though. DeMarcus Ware is going to be out, as well as Jay Ratliff was set to come off the PUP list, but we released him. So having that nice cornerstone at D-tackle, you know, we've got to replace that. But all in all, good win. We're 3-3. Big game this week. Battle for first place. We go to Philly. I'm very pleased with how the Cowboys have played the last 2 weeks. I am nervous about this game Sunday, only because we've got injuries to our defense and this fast paced offense, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
So
we'll get into that.
You know, but all in all, it was a very good week for us. We can't say the same about the Colts. So, my lovely wife here, it was a rough day Sunday afternoon in the house. It was a little rough. So, I'll let her tell you how she felt about the Colts' performance.
Yes, I will say, well, first off, I do, I'm glad that your Cowboys did get a win. That does make our household a little more livelier when the Cowboys win. It's best when Cowboys and Colts win, but that didn't happen this week. I will say with the Cowboys, I did notice you guys kind of kept the penalties down, which can be a chronic problem for you guys, but I did notice that the penalties were down. And like I said, you guys were hard hitting. Kept Robert Griffin III without a touchdown in the game. As well, I don't think he got 300 yards offense. Well, I mean, passing or rushing himself, so that was a win as well. And like you said, the Colts did lose. We flew across the country to San Diego and ran into, I guess, the buzzsaw that is Philip Rivers. it was just a bad game for us. I mean, we weren't doing literally anything right. Offense, defense, special teams, whatever you want to say, we weren't doing it. We just could not get right at all. I was really hoping that our defense would show up again like we did with Seattle. But yeah, traveling across the country just did not work out well for us. It was just bad. I mean, it wasn't even like one thing. We were bad all around. Our defense, Robert Mathis kept on overrunning and letting the play go past him. It was just bad.
Overall, what I saw was a defense that couldn't get off the field. I believe the Chargers had 39 minutes of possession. And it's hard to win when you have to score every time you have the ball. And there was a period in the first half where the Colts were three and out.
Our play calling was bad as well.
And
yeah, I mean, usually honestly, so far this season, Pep Hamilton has done well. He'll unleash, kind of let Luck do what he wants to do or air it out a little bit throughout the game. Whereas this game, he didn't let him do it at all until the end, and he was supposed to be saving it again. And I didn't like the play calling this game. And like I said, it was all around just bad. So,
well, you need to right the ship.
Yeah, because we got a buzzsaw coming.
Hurricane Manning is coming.
So, yeah. But I will say it was a bad game, but we can always say we're not the Giants.
Yes. Oh, my God. And they're losing, and it's getting progressively worse. Eli's interceptions are coming early and often. And a lot of times, they're not his fault, though. You know, catch the ball. Run the right route. I think even though they're putting on a good face and they're saying the right things, I think there's an issue in the locker room. I don't know if Coughlin has lost the locker room. I think he's too strong of a personality for that. But the belief in what they're doing, I see it as an issue. I don't see the passion. And historically with the Jaguars, the Giants, what do you think about? You think about that defense, that pass rush, and that running game, and it's not there. They cannot run the ball. They can't convert third downs. They're turning the ball over at an alarming rate. You can't beat anybody like that. So I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. Now, granted, they're only three games out of first place. But I mean, geez, it's must win game. Monday Night Football is treating us to the 0-6 Giants and the 1-4 Vikings. But I don't know, you know, their defense, Adrian Peterson's coming to town, but new quarterback starting in Josh Freeman. So I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if this game will be worth watching.
They should have saved this game for Thursday night. Yes. This is a Thursday night game at this point.
Yes, only half the country has access to the game. But I mean, if you look at their schedule, if they don't win Monday,
I don't know when they're going
to
win.
Where's the win? They go to Philly. Issue with the offense. They beat Philly, beat them 36-21. Oakland comes to town. That's across. They have a bye week, and then Oakland comes to town. Now, that's a cross-country trip. That could be a win.
And we know how we as Colts know how that goes. So.
Then you've got Green Bay. Then you've got the Cowboys.
Well, they got
it could be a couple weeks. If they lose Monday,
it'll be
a while. I don't think they'll beat Philly. Then you got a bye, and then Oakland comes to town.
And see, this is the thing.
No wins to November?
I think bye weeks in large markets when you're doing bad is not healthy. This is just because it's a week of straight pressure cooker actually it's a whole week and not playing. It's a slow cooker. It's like a crock pot of bull.
But okay.
that the media is just going to sit and stew and find little things to nitpick and talk about. And it, I mean, they can act like that stuff doesn't affect them. And I'm sure 90% of it, they do tune out. But a whole week of sitting there, that's, you can't tune out everything.
Well, this is the thing. They got to fix this defense. Now, I know the offense is turning the ball over, but this is the points that they've given up. 36 to the Cowboys, 41 to the Broncos, 38 to Carolina, 31 to Kansas City, 36 to Philly, 27 to Chicago. You're not going to win giving up almost, well, at minimum, 4 touchdowns a game. It's not going to happen. You're not going to beat teams. You're just not. This is in college. I do believe in the theory you can outscore people. See Baylor, see Oregon. But in the NFL, you must play defense.
Some form of it.
And this is just, it's sad. And now we're going to be treated to Monday night. Adrian Peterson, great watch. Love to watch him run the ball. He runs angry. New quarterback. You know, no chemistry with receivers that we know of. So, if they lose then, what do you do?
I don't know.
What do you do? So, Giants fans, I got a friend, brother, that's just distraught. He doesn't even let his toddler wear the Giants onesie. I mean,
strip clubs stop playing Giants games because it's too depressing for the customers and it drives.
No tips.
Sad to tip.
You know,
have you ever been too sad to tip?
Nope.
Well, you're not a Giants fan, so.
Not a Giants fan, but, well, anyway, who goes to the strip club to watch the game?
That's true as well, but, you know, sometimes maybe it's a refuge for men where they get to see women, but the women aren't going to nag them for watching the game. So, I mean, you don't have that life where...
Yeah, I don't know anything.
You don't
about
know that life, but it's some men out there that have that life where their wives or significant other doesn't want them to watch the game. So, if they go to a strip club, it's kind of like, well, I get to see pretty women, I can watch the game, and there is no nagging.
I guess, man. That's... Shouldn't have said I do. That's all I had to say. Just shouldn't have said I do.
Yeah, well, another team that's in a big bit of a disarray is Matt Schaub and the Houston Texans, the Fighting Texans. Matt Schaub finally got benched, which came at the cost of his injury. He got injured. Fans clapped and cheered, and then they put in, who did they put in? Who's the... They put in the backup quarterback.
The mere fact that we are struggling with his name should let you know.
But he threw an interception right after that, and it was like, see, this is what you asked for.
But let's back up a minute. Houston Texan fans, you go to the man's house, you know, totally disrespectful. Taking pictures of his family, that's ridiculous. But to cheer when a guy got injured, that's just unacceptable. That's unacceptable
that's very,
behavior.
Eagles fans like Case Keenum. No, T.J. Yates got into the game.
T.J. Yates threw the pick, but Case Keenum is starting.
Case Keenum is starting, right?
That's just so disrespectful, and I don't care how bad he is. You don't know what's that guy's feeling laying on that ground, and to cheer. I hope they don't win another game just because. So, anyway, I just think that's ridiculous. The guy's hurt. The guy's hurt. You know, he's going to have his job when he comes back. So, I really and truly, I don't think the quarterback is solely the issue in Houston.
No.
You know, everybody needs to start playing up to their potential. I'll say that. You know, they do have some injury issues. The tight end being hurt was huge. Nobody's coming out and saying that. I know because the guys on my fantasy team, but that was big. And they got it tough. You know, Sunday, they got to go to Kansas City. That's a tough ball game.
Yep.
That's a tough ball game. Tough place to play. Then they got a bye week. They got the Colts division game. You know, no disrespect. That's going to be a tough game for y'all. Lord forbid if they lose at Kansas City, then they got a bye week. And you know, you guys could be facing two straight losses. I'm just saying. Could be a tough one. Then they got Arizona. Oh, my God. Jacksonville's on the schedule. So, two times in 3 weeks. So, that's two wins for them. so, they can right the ship somewhat. But Texans, man, got to get it together. And the same thing with the Texans that we talked about with the Giants. The Texans are 2-4, lost four straight. In their four losses, 30 points given up to Baltimore, 23 in overtime to Seattle, 34 to San Francisco, and 38 to St. Louis. You can't beat people like that. It's not going to happen. And then your offense, oh my God, 9 points at Baltimore, 20 at Seattle, 3 at San Francisco, 13 at St. Louis. The Rams?
And see, this is the thing. Like, they lost 34-3, but Arian Foster had 98 yards rushing. They lost 38-13 to the Rams, and Foster had 141 yards rushing.
But you know what, though? That was when the game was a game in the first half. I think he had like 98 in the first quarter. He ended the first half of like 120-something. So that was when the game was competitive. But in the second half, when the turnover fest started, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. They let them – they first in opponents' passing yards. First. So.
I mean, it's just – it's getting out of hand. It is getting out of hand with them. But they can right the ship. It would be a very big victory going into their bye week to beat Kansas City. But Kansas City's tough, man. They are they do what you need to do to win in the NFL and in football, period. Kansas City runs the ball well, and they play defense. And the quarterback doesn't make mistakes. He's the anti-Schaub.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tough for them. I don't know where they're going to get a win, but it's a must-win for them. But this is the thing, though. If they go down 2-5 and then they go into a bye week, they're going to be a desperate team.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, well, another thing that I wanted to talk about is I know we haven't talked much about basketball, but Derrick Rose is back on the hardwood, and it looks like he's back in good form. You know, he took as much time as he actually needed, and he looks kind of healthy, even though I think the last two games has been held out because of a hamstring, so... I don't know if that's just due to not playing and then just jumping back in, but.
Well, I mean, it's definitely probably that. You know, he's probably overcompensating. And, you know, you want to be careful on one part of your body. You overcompensate with another part of your body. You get a pull. I think he'll be all right when the season starts. My only thing is this. Just like you cannot tell a person when they are healthy to play. Even if a doctor clears them, if the confidence isn't there, the performance isn't going to be there. And this was his first injury in his life to where it was major and he missed a significant amount of time. So, you know, I don't know. And are the Bulls as constructed now a challenger in the East? We'll have to see, because we'll have to see over a long period of time what Derrick Rose do they have. Do they have the guy that can take anybody off the dribble and get to the rim and get his own shot? Or do they have a guy with less explosiveness that's going to have to rely on a flat jumper to get his points?
Well, he said that his vertical has increased. I think it was like 5 or 6 inches, he said.
What was he supposed to say? Oh, I can't jump as high? So, you got to take that with a grain of salt. But we'll see where the Bulls are. I don't think the Bulls, even with Derrick Rose, are better than the Pacers.
Well, they play them actually tonight, so that should be interesting. I know it's preseason, but still, I think it'd be interesting to see. If he plays,
you know, I don't think they match up well with the additions that the Heat have in Beasley and the guy's name escapes me.
Please don't say Greg Oden because he's hurt again, and it's his knee.
Well, you know, but I think if healthy, the Heat have solved their inside problem. So, you know, I don't see the Bulls challenging them. So, you know, we'll see what happens with Derrick Rose. We'll keep an eye on it. But, guys, injuries, I can tell you, injuries, they are just – it's more of a mental thing.
And it's case by case.
You know, so, you know, let him come back and we'll see the NBA. It's a long season. It's a grind. You know, the knee will have swelling. Then, you know, how does he deal with that? How does he deal with the soreness? How does he deal with starting and stopping? Yep. You know, so you just got to see and just let it play out. But the criticism that he's got, it wasn't necessarily – warranted, if you ask me, because everybody's not Adrian Peterson. And I still believe that an ACL injury is a year-long injury. You may can come back in 7 or 8 months, but
I think Robert Griffin III,
you need that time.
That type of severe injury, it was like it's a miracle or whatever with Adrian Peterson, but athletes being who they are, they're like, I need to be on that time schedule and that timetable, and that just doesn't work. And I think that I'm glad Derrick Rose took the time that he took. And if he stays healthy and doesn't have any lingering issues, I think that just helps eases other owners, GM's mind. Like, you know, yes, sometimes people do need to take a little bit longer than what another person does. Everybody can't be the fastest at recovering from an injury, and everybody doesn't need to be the fastest in recovering from an injury. So definitely glad to see Derrick Rose back and pretty much healthy outside of the tiny hamstring issue that he says it's not a big deal and that it's just the upper management keeping him out of the game. So it's still preseason. They got like another week to go before the season starts. So we'll see and just keep an eye on that. Now, something that is kind of like ongoing that just developed the other day, and we were kind of talking about it before we got on for the podcast, is the situation with Grambling University football team and how that's going. That's definitely something that normally, 99.9% of the time, the sports world as a whole does not pay attention to any HBCU, generally in any form or fashion, especially after Eddie Robinson no longer coached. So, what happened was, it seems to be, they had an issue, and it seems to be an ongoing issue, that it's so many moving parts to this. It's, you know, they were really upset with Doug Williams being fired 2 weeks into the season. Then there was other issues about the traveling, meal allotments while they're on the road. And so they had this meeting it was the SGA president, the president of the university, the athletic director, and the football team. Things got kind of heated. One student was saying something, and apparently he was using curse words, talking to the president, and then just the whole team left. Like, the meeting didn't even last that long. Then they were supposed to go to practice. The coach was there, and he was there by himself. So today they were supposed to leave, and the buses were there, the media was there, the band was there. The football team was not there. So apparently, you know, this is something where they are taking a stance on this. So only thing kind of sucks is this was Jackson State's homecoming. So now they don't have anybody to play for homecoming. But if you've attended the HBCU, you know the festivities of the list of the hot festivities, the actual football game is probably like number 6 or 7.
Well, you know, but that doesn't make it right, which I'm going to talk about in my random thoughts later. But the game has been canceled between Jackson State and Grambling State. And I just think it's sad. I really do. These players are talking about poor facilities, poor travel policies, you know, their food allotment. And my thing is, if you can't get that right, then what are you doing? And that's not a head coaching issue.
No, that's a university issue,
and more specifically, that's an athletic department issue. Because if the money-making program in your athletic department, which is the football program, is struggling like this, oh my God, what's the basketball team look like? What does the volleyball team, the track team, your non-revenue producing sports, what are they dealing with? And since football is the first sport of the fall, oh my God, what's going on with Grambling for the rest of the year? So I don't know what it is, but one thing I hope they don't do, which HBCUs do, is don't raise tuition because you're not getting proper funding for your athletic department. Don't do that. I think that if it's Grambling's a state school, so state funding's got to come into play somewhere. Where's their allotment for that for the state of Louisiana? But it's crazy.
I think Deadspin did a really good thing about what's behind the issue with Grambling State, which they talked about a lot of it. They just talked about state funding, which is a big part of it, but that's not the only part. Because no matter what your budget is, you have to find a way to make it work. And that's one thing that can't happen is, you know, and I would say not just for HBCUs, but obviously for all colleges that have a football program, 9 times out of 10, that's the revenue generating sport, like you said. That's the sport that gets boosters excited, that gets alumni excited, and that makes them donate more. So you can't treat the people that is kind of keeping the wheel going. You can't just skip a meal for them. You can't have them at the bottom of the totem pole when they are the ones that's going to help keep this wheel going, even if state funding, you know, gets cut back or whatever. So, the article on Deadspin was pretty cool to read, pretty informative about how the state funding was cut, the governor refusing stimulus money. So this is a problem that's basically been stemming from 2009 as far as state funding. So definitely check out the Deadspin article about it, and that'll give you an insight. And to me, that also comes back to a lot of other things that's going on, is who you vote for and how important it is to vote. So to act like your vote doesn't matter, this is a microcosm of why your vote matters.
Yeah, and you're 100% right about that. It's important to vote, but you know, decisions are made. We put people in office to make decisions for the whole. The thing that is just so disheartening for me is it's not the kids' fault. And college is the time of your life. You know, this trip to Jackson, I mean, it's something that these players will talk about with their kids, that they're going to miss that experience on. But I love the fact that they are standing up for themselves. And they're speaking out. It's getting national attention. And whenever national attention comes, changes come swiftly.
Right.
So I hope they get what they want. I hope they get what they need. And then they'll be back on the field next week. But if not, hey, sit out again and let them know. And another thing that I hope does not happen, I hope that the administration, air quotation marks, does not take it out on these individual players in the classroom.
Yeah. Well, see, this is the thing, and people were tweeting about it and kind of discussing it on social media, is they were saying that they could get their scholarships taken away because them not playing is a breach of contract, and therefore they could take their scholarships away. that doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't solve the problem. And then, too, so, and this is my thing, Grambling, you know, you got to make this right, because what recruit is going to want to go there? What recruit's going to want to, this is the thing. In high school, when we traveled, and it was a long ways away, if we stopped, I knew I was getting 2 cheeseburgers and fries and a Coke.
That's so not healthy for us.
That's what we got. On track meets, we were stopping at McDonald's. We ate breakfast at Shoney's. College is a step up. Oh, these overnight trips, we get this nice hotel room. Oh, we're sponsored by Nike. We get these nice shoes. I don't have to wear used shoes anymore. It's like anything in life. It's a step up. Yeah. These guys are playing for a high school team.
Yeah.
So, and it's ridiculous.
750-mile trip via bus. That's a bit much. I don't want to travel like that, and then I'm supposed to win a game.
And then this is the thing, too. The buses were going to leave Friday. The damn game is Saturday.
Yep.
750 miles. That's airy on a bus?
No, they left Thursday.
Oh, Thursday. Still. That's a lot.
Because, see, once that's you get to practice Friday, you still need to do a walkthrough. Yep. You need to have some type of meeting.
So, and I know it's expensive to fly. I 100% get that. I do. I really, really do. But, man, you know, this is ridiculous. I just don't get it. It's probably some high school teams that are funded better than this. So, Grambling, you need to get it together.
Because I would even say, I don't know. Something's got to be done. Because I would say, okay, you got to modify your schedule. But you're in the swag. You got to play certain people every year.
Yeah, I mean, and I know it's a long trip when Grambling comes to play our alma mater, Alabama A&M, from Louisiana to Alabama. That's a long trip. I get it.
Oh, we drove there.
Yes.
Oh my god.
I get it. That's a long trip. So, but, you know, it goes into your fundraising, like you said, the boosters. And football is a revenue-producing sport. Just look at the stadium. So, I don't know. We can sit here and talk about the different facets of this all night, but the fact of the matter is, the football team, I'm glad they took a stance.
Yeah.
And I truly hope things change immediately.
Yeah. I'm all for change, and I'm all for standing up for yourself. So, good job, Grambling. I think you guys are setting a precedent, not only just because you're an HBCU. I think that the world is taking notice, the sports world is taking notice, because there are a lot of things that other schools, other players, student athletes are upset with. But they are afraid to take this step. And just like when there's a revolution, somebody's got to do something first, and then everybody else can fall in line. So I am proud of Grambling State football team for taking that stance, and I do think we're headed in new territory where a student-athlete's voice can be heard more. I am for that.
And, hey, on a lighter note, they'll probably make a 30 for 30 out of it, too.
We'll be 50 before it comes on, but yes, there may be a 30 for 30 on it. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on to one thing that we were going to talk about is we'll do our own top 10 for the BCS. Those rankings come out Sunday. Sunday at 8:30. So the BCS rankings are starting Sunday. So we're going to put together our own. And I guess, you know, we can see where we match up. But so I'll start. And you can just let me know if you agree or disagree with me.
All right.
Okay. So number 10, I have the University of Miami.
Disagree.
Who do you think is number 10?
It's not Miami. And this is why. Miami, they're so thin on defense. Now, that first 11 is good, and they're a young team, but just the lack of experience. They did win today. I think they'll go into the Florida State game undefeated, but I do think they'll be exposed up against a high-powered offense. I'm not a believer in Florida State. Just not a believer.
Okay, so we don't agree on number 10. Number 9, I have UCLA.
UCLA, undefeated team, big game this weekend.
Definitely.
I kind of want to see what they do against Stanford. UCLA is balanced. I love their quarterback play.
Yeah.
I love their quarterback play. But they go on the road. We'll see. I would kind of put Stanford ahead of UCLA strictly because their brand of football does lend to winning, running the ball and playing good defense, not making mistakes. So I disagree with you there, too. Sorry.
Gosh, okay. So number eight, I have Texas A&M.
8-10, I could go with Texas A&M. They haven't beaten anyone.
Well, I will say this. When I was going through and doing research on my top 10, there are a lot of teams that really haven't played anyone just yet. I think, you know, they schedule it to have the meter games or the significant games to come after this week.
I mean, because if you look at it, so Texas A&M, they're not playing any of the beast in the East. They haven't played Alabama yet, haven't played LSU. They did play Ole Miss, only won by three. They've got a great offense, but that defense is horrible. It's horrible. And the only reason they're ranked as high as they are is because they have Johnny Manziel, and nobody else does. But outside of that, They're a team that can score. They're one of the teams that have to outscore you because they can't get a defensive stop.
But they do it.
You're 100% right. But this is the thing, though. They played a team at home that they were up 14, and in the blink of an eye, the other team ran off 35.
But that was the number one team in the nation.
That was just a physical team.
Wasn't just a physical team. That is okay. The number one.
Let's look at their schedule, okay? They played Rice. They played a Starch that scored 31 points. Then they played Sam Houston that scored 28 points on them. Alabama scored 49. They played SMU. They held them to 13. All right. But then, hey, who we really are, they played Arkansas. Arkansas put 33 on them. Ole Miss put 38 on them. They're playing Auburn. And the old adage is, a team that plays fast doesn't like to play a team that pays fast. This will be an interesting matchup. I don't think Auburn will beat them. They don't have the firepower to beat them. But will this be a high-scoring game? Absolutely. Then they got Vanderbilt. They'll beat them. UTEP. Mississippi State. They'll beat them. But then LSU comes calling. Oh, I'm sorry. They have to go to the true Death Valley. Sorry, Clemson fans. And they'll get destroyed. So, I'm not a believer. I don't think they can win the national championship.
That's why I don't have them in my top three.
So, you know.
Have them at eight.
They're about right, but I still think it's overrated. They're just an overrated team.
Overrated. Anyway, so number seven, I have Louisville.
I'm cool with that. Got a great quarterback in Bridgewater. Defense is strong. Offense is led by him. But they haven't beaten anyone, and they will not beat anyone. They have a very soft schedule. It's because of their conference, so you really don't know how good they are. They don't know what adversity looks like. If you look at their schedule, they played Ohio, Eastern Kentucky, played Kentucky, rivalry game, played them close. FIU, that's when they scored 72. Temple only scored 30. Rutgers, 24. They got Central Florida, South Florida, Connecticut, Houston, Memphis, and their big game at Cincinnati. They should go undefeated. If they lose, they should drop out of the top 25.
Oh, my God.
Well, you got to look at the schedule.
If they lose,
This is what Boise State was 10 years ago. Hey, we're going to go undefeated, but if you look at the resume, there's nobody there.
Well, I'm not calling them a national.
You don't know how good they are. And to me, seven, it's about right, but they have the national championship conversation. Everybody needs to lose twice before you put Louisville up there. Period.
Yeah, I mean, period. I don't think that they have the strength of schedule to even get in the top five. quite honestly. They don't have the strength of schedule to get in the top five. I don't care if they stay undefeated. They don't have the strength of schedule to get in the top five.
And it would be a shame if they if things happen and they do play. So, you know.
So, moving on, I have Clemson at number six.
And actually, Clemson's right third in the polls. There are teams, I think, that are better than Clemson. I'm not a believer in Clemson because at the end of the day, Clemson is Clemson. I do think they're going to lose this weekend. Big game. Florida State's coming to town. And, you know, that's a lot for me to say, being a Gator fan. But Clemson, they did beat Georgia, but, hell, they gave up 38 points to do that. You know, my thing is defense. You got to win the national championship. You got to play defense. They're dogs at home. They're 3.5-point underdogs at home. Vegas is telling you, people. And Clemson.
And Vegas knows.
And Vegas knows. Clemson, you know, they've beaten Georgia, okay? They got Florida State here. And then outside of that, they got South Carolina at the end of the year, who they can't seem to beat. So, number six is okay with me with Clemson. All right. It's all right. I'm good with that.
All right. Number five, I have Ohio State.
First of all, that's so. You know, that's so ridiculous. Calling yourself the Ohio State University. Bitch, you Ohio State University, period. Anyway, I just can't stand that. I can't stand
off
that.
Some people we
I don't care. I don't care. Get at me. At Ace of Diamonds 99. Get at us on Twitter. At TASOIP.
Ooh, you said it right. You must be fired up, baby.
Yes. You know, if you got something to say and you want to argue about it, we can. Ohio State ain't shit. They soft.
Oh my God.
With a capital T.
You know, your disdain.
This is my thing. You know, Urban Meyer, you left a gold mine in Florida. Bye, bitch. Go. Ohio State, no defense. Defense is their issue. Defense is their issue. Now, did they win a big game at Northwestern? Yes, they did, but they gave up 30-plus points to do it. And historically, they don't do well against the SEC. When they play in the bowl games.
Yeah.
This is the same type of team. Oh, we're going to run through the regular season. I don't even really think they're going to beat Michigan, but, you know, that's their only hurdle.
I think that's going to be a good matchup, though.
If Gardner don't turn over the ball, he needs to change his number from 98 and get him a regular number. But we're talking about Ohio State.
Yes.
Number five, I'm good with that. Okay. I'm good with that. But, okay. I'll keep going. I'll go at the end.
All right, so number four, I have LSU.
On point. I think they're the second best team in the SEC behind Alabama. And I think they can beat the teams you got ahead of them. So I'm good with them right there. They've got a couple big games coming up. LSU's a team, if they keep winning, they'll get their shot because they got the big game in November against Alabama.
I think their quarterback has grown a lot.
I'm not a believer in Mettenberger. I think the Florida game against an NFL caliber defense, he ain't winning. That was a running game that won that game, which is very surprisingly. But did he play well? Yes. So it'll
but
be
that might have been the game plan that the coaches installed.
Exactly. Okay, if that's the game
to play
plan,
to then, y'all weakness.
But you just can't sit up and say that. Okay.
I mean,
I think he's strong.
I think he's grown. I'm not saying he's like the best quarterback in the land, but I think he's made some strides from last season.
All right, I'll give you that. He's made some strides from last season, but I don't see him being the guy that wins it.
Okay.
I don't see that at all. I don't see that at all.
He can manage it. He's a good manager.
Yeah, he can do that.
All right, so number three, I have Florida State.
I agree with that 100%. I think they're the third best team. But my only thing with Florida State is offense explosive. Defense is young, but they are just ready to go. When is Winston going to have that game as a freshman that he makes mistakes?
Maybe he won't.
Okay, name the freshman that's done that.
Johnny Manziel.
They lost. They finished third in the SEC West last year. What was so great about that?
He won the Heisman.
They finished third in the SEC West.
But
finished third in the SEC West.
But that wasn't.
They finished
third in the SEC West.
But, okay. All right, fine.
Okay, number two.
No, but what I'm saying is he won the Heisman. They might have lost.
They're third now in the SEC West. Oh, so, I mean, you know, this is the thing. People don't get caught up.
Okay, so what was the game that Johnny Manziel totally fucked up on last season?
They only scored 3 points in the second half when Florida beat them. When they needed to drive against LSU, when LSU was giving them opportunities after opportunities, they couldn't get a first down.
So
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
All right.
I don't want to hear it. But this is the thing. Winston's got to play big. If he is going to mess up, he's got 2 games to do it. Well, 3 games, actually. Tomorrow night at Clemson, I think they go to Miami, and then they got to go to Gainesville. 3 big road tests. If he surpasses that, you know, they could definitely be playing for it all.
Okay. So, you know who I have number two and number one. So.
Yeah, Oregon and Alabama. They could be interchangeable. I like Alabama 1, Oregon 2.
And that's how I have it.
Yeah. This is my thing. I'm not a believer in Oregon. They lose against a physical team every year. They play Stanford. I think if they get in the national championship game, they'll play a SEC team that'll dominate the line of scrimmage, therefore dominate them. Your top 10 is okay, but you got that one glaring team that is not in the top 10 that is undefeated. And that's the Bears of Baylor. Who wants to play Baylor? More importantly, who is going to beat them? Who is going to beat them?
Who are they playing?
They're playing in the Big 12. They're playing in the Big 12. They've got their big games remaining on the schedule.
Well, they got big games coming up.
Yeah,
they've got Oklahoma. But up to this point, they haven't played anybody.
I don't care if you playing air. 70 points a game is sick. Sick. I don't care who you playing. Okay, they've got to play November on a Thursday night game, November 7th, where teams go to die on Thursday night. Big teams lose on Thursday night. They play at Oklahoma. Excuse me. Oklahoma goes to Baylor. Then the 16th, they play Texas Tech. Then they've got another ranked team in Oklahoma State on the 21st. Then they end with TCU in Texas. So
I would say by the end of November, if they are still undefeated, they should be in the top 5.
You can make an argument. They should be in the top 3. That offense is for real. If you have not watched Baylor play, it's different from watching an Oregon or a Texas A&M with the pace or whatnot. No, they are chucking it deep. They are running route combinations that if you're playing zone, they are open. And if you're playing man, you need to be able to run. So that's my only thing with your top 10. And where I would put Baylor, I would drop out Louisville and put Baylor at 7. That's how impressed I am with them.
Well, see, I'm be honest, I have not watched Baylor play a whole game, so.
Well, they will be on tomorrow, 7 o'clock, ESPNU. You need to watch an hour of that.
They'll Is be that up, a date?
It'll be up 28-0.
What time does Florida play tomorrow?
Oh, we'll talk about that in my random stuff.
So, yeah, we'll move on. So, let's talk about some games to watch right quick, and then we'll move into random thoughts. So one of the big college games to watch is Stanford
UCLA.
Mm-hmm. They're playing tomorrow, and then the other one is Clemson and Florida State, which we touched on as well.
Yeah, and other games of interest too. You got Notre Dame playing USC. Of course, I'm going to be interested in the Gators and Missouri. Not a lot of games, but some very big games. So, that the world will be what, 8 o'clock ABC. College game day is at Clemson, so it's going to be rocking. It'll be a great atmosphere. But the key to win on the road is running the ball and playing defense. Period.
So we'll see which team does that and how they come out on the other side. NFL games to watch, of course, Peyton Manning coming to Lucas Oil Field and playing my Colts. That's basically the game of the week. So
it's the game of the week.
I think they're gonna put up 42.
And you know, no disrespect to the Colts.
You never say the Colts are gonna win anything.
They damn sure ain't gonna win Sunday. I think
we got a little shock the world left in us. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not delusional. I don't think it's going. If it is a win, it is a hard fought, well deserved win, and it's really gonna be up to our defense as to how this goes. So it is it's gonna be very, very hard to determine, you know, for us to win, especially from a defensive standpoint.
You know, but other games of interest too are definitely, you got New England going to the Jets.
Oh yeah.
Looking for the season sweep.
Rex Ryan told them not to have sex to get prepared.
Yeah. you know, Dallas at Philly, battle for first place. Can Washington rebound? They got Chicago coming to town. Will Jacksonville get a win? No. And then, like we said earlier, Houston goes to KFC. Kansas City. That's a big game. And then, you know, Denver and Indianapolis. So, NFL never lets you down. It's always some intriguing matchups.
Yeah. So, I know we're kind of getting towards the end of the show, so we're going to go ahead and, the game tonight, baseball.
Hey, the Braves aren't playing. I really don't care.
Okay, so we don't care. Well, the Cards are playing.
So?
Do you think the Cards are going to win?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. You see how dry that was, everybody? Hate is just running deep in him. We got to work on this. We're going to do like a sports exorcism. To, you know, like The Conjuring or something. Just pull the hate out. Just so you can, you know. See, I have hate for very few things. I have hate, but it's not for a lot of things. I hate the Patriots. I loathe and hate the Patriots. But it's really like a short list. Your list is kind of long. We got to work on shortening it. Okay. No. Well, we'll see. So let's go ahead and move on to random thoughts. So I would let you go first with your random thoughts.
People, I'm a husband and a father of two. And my beautiful daughter, Skye, her birthday is Sunday.
Shout out to Skye.
She'll be 4 years old. Man, just a beautiful child, full of energy. She just lights up the room. I love her to death. Skye wants to go to Chuck E. Cheese for her birthday.
Pray for us.
I hate Chuck E. Cheese because when kids go to Chuck E. Cheese, they lose all discipline in anything you ever taught them. I hate it. But that's where she wants to go. And the Cowboys play at 1 o'clock. But I'm going to be in Chuck E. Cheese.
You know, you're like that commercial.
With these damn kids. Second thing, I got to work tomorrow. The bank is open from 9 to 2. Florida kickoff at 12:21. I work on the north side of Jacksonville. We close at 2. I ain't going to get home till like 3. So I'm taping the game. I'm going to try not to look at ESPN or whatnot. So my random thought is this. I love the Gators and I love the Cowboys. But I love my family and kids more.
Aww.
So I'll be missing the games live. I'll be taping them. Man's got to do what a man's got to do.
That's more like a random rant, but that's okay. I understand. You got it out your system. Mine is kind of like a random rant as well. Mine is not sports related, but there is a preview for a movie. And this movie is about a man who builds a prison. And then they want him to escape from said prison, apparently, I guess, to find out the flaws in it. And he makes a friend in the prison that's going to help him escape. Now, this may be a great plot for a movie for people that are under 40 years old to star in. I need to ban deer antler spray and HGH from anybody that is over 50, because apparently Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger take this stuff and they think that they can keep doing these action movies, and they need to stop. Somebody needs to stop enabling them. People need to just, this needs to stop. I know that we had a government shutdown and we had issues with that, but this, now that the government is back working, this needs to take national precedence, and they need to stop. Why are they making action movies at 60 plus years of age? Nobody believes this shit. And wherever they find stunt doubles, God bless them too. And they need to sit down too. But I just, why? I saw that preview. I'm like, what the hell? Why? Why are these people still making these type movies? There needs to be some dialogue, some reflection about the life that was, making things right with your kids and your grandkids. These are the movies they need to make. Like Billy Crystal. Make a movie like that. Or something like, it's just, I can't take it. Too much deer antler spray going on in the world with old people. First it was the Viagra, now it's deer antler spray.
Can I say something?
Sure.
That was hate. That was hate. This is what I'll say. I ain't got no problem with Stallone and them. But I kind of like the concept.
You are not dragging me to that.
Hey, if it's date night and I'm picking, I'm just saying we're going to the movies. Get the movie.
But, well, I'm going to have to pack the vodka to suffer through that. Four Loko or something.
Hey, you just gotta see it. I mean,
no, I don't have to.
But okay, what's the difference between that and the Expendables?
That was bad too.
They made two of them. They made money.
I don't know. I think it's just ridiculous.
Okay, hey, that's you, man.
All right, guys. So we are going to get on out of here, and we got some birthday cupcakes to be picking up and some gifts to get and stuff. So. Again, our lovely daughter Sky is turning 4, and we'll let you guys know. Probably our random thoughts are going to be Chuck E. Cheese base next week, so just keep a ear out for that. Again, this has been the Tall and Short of It podcast. Please check us out at tallandshortofitpodcast.com, iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic, and just search Tall and Short of It podcast. So, anything else, baby?
That's it.
All right. So, we see you guys later next week. And we should be back on schedule so you don't have to wait so long to hear us. Have a great week.